text 31. So the demigods are speaking to Vishwarup, the son of Tvasta. Tvasta, by the way, is the son of Diti. So Aditi is also the wife of Kashyapa. So they're all, the demigods and the demons at this point are very closely related. Well, the father of both lines is Kashyapa. You were asking why it was that that Vishwarup was inclined to the demons. One thing is they were all pretty close together at that time, because the demons come from Diti, therefore called Daichas. Daicha means those who derive from Diti, and the devotees, the demigods, are Aditis. They come from Aditi. Anyway, so go on. The demigods are talking to Vishwarup, son of Tvasta. They say, "Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please mercifully fulfill our desires by relieving our distress to the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our prayers." In text 32. "Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us." And there's a short purport. Prabhupada says, "One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. Therefore, although Vishwarup was inferior to the demigods accepted him as their guru to conquer the demons." So, text number 33, which is on the board. Now we'll chant the Sanskrit. Na gare garhayanti hi arteshu yavishtangri abhivadanam chandhobhya anyatra na brahman vayo jatishtyasya. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Jayaishtyasya karanam nagar hayanti hyarteshu yavishtangriyab yabhivadanam chando biyon yatra inna brahman vayodhyaishtyasya karanam nagar hayanti hyarteshu yavishtam griyabhivadanam chando biyon yantra na brahman vayodhyaishtyasya karanam nagar hayanti hyarteshu yavishtangri abhivadanam chando biyonyatra yana brahman vayodhyaishtyasya karanam.
Nagarayanti hyateshu Yavishtam vyadivadhanam Chando bhyo nyatra na brahman Vayo jyashya karanam Nagarhayanti yateshu Yavishtam vyadivadhanam Chandho bhyo nyatra na brahman Ayodhyasya ishyascha karanam
Nagarhayanti yateshu
Nagarhayanti yateshu
Yavishtam vyabhivadanam
Yavishtam vyabhivadanam Chando bhyo nyatra na brahman Vayo jyaishyasya karanam Nagarhayanti hyateshu
Yavishtam
vyabhivadanam
Chando bhyo
nyatra na brahman Vayo jyaishyasya karanam Ladies. Nagarhayanti hyateshu Yavishtam vyabhivadanam Vayo jaishyasya karanam Garhayanti forbid he indeed
Arateshu
in acquiring interests Yavishta Angri at the lotus feet of a junior Abhivadanam
offering obeisances
Chandhobhyah, the Vedic mantras, Anyatra, apart from, Na, not, Brahman, O Brahmana, Vayaha, age, Jaishtyasya, of seniority, Karanam, the cause. Translation. The demigods continued, do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Vidhattvam Vayasadhina, one may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarup was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest. And therefore, he would have to accept obeisances from them. Demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nichat api uttamam jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The brahmanas, the members of the most elevated varna, are teachers. But a person in a lower family, such as a family of kshatriyas, vaishyas, or even shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila 8.128. Kibha vipra kibha nashi shudra kina nai, ye Krishna tattva veta she guru hoy. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grihastha, or sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. I'll read the text again. The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relation to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. One may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." So we've seen that the demigods, in approaching Vishwarup, addressed him as a son, and suggested that he had as a son, he had an obligation to them. The son has to take care of the parents. But now the relationship is going to be reversed. He becomes their priest, their guru. Then he becomes senior, even though he's just a young brahmachari. So they're saying now, see, that doesn't matter. The important thing is that you have Vedic knowledge and that makes you senior. So here's one instance of this. So Prabhupada cites several places. Vridhatvam vayasa vina. One may be old without being old. One can be senior without being old, because seniority is there. Senior in knowledge. And again, he, Chanakya Pandit, one may accept education from a member of a lower social order. And then finally he cites Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement to Ramananda Roy, Kibha vipra kibha nyasi shudra kini noisi, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. I've got that here because it's worth looking at again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this sentence to Ramananda Roy because during this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a sannyasi and a brahmana, was about to receive instruction from Ramananda Roy, a householder and a kayasta. Kayasta in Bengal is classified as a shudra caste, although sometimes they hold very important positions. Actually, they're, bureaucrats, office workers for government, government clerks. That's what kayasta is. So sometimes it's seen that those people, kayastas, will advance very high, even though they're regarded, at least in Bengal, as classified as shudras. I think in other parts of India they're considered kshatriyas. But anyway, so Ramananda Roy was formerly a shudra, even though he was the governor provincial governor under King Pratapuruja, and he had been sent to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been sent to receive instruction from him. By whom? Who recommended him as being expert in a certain kind of knowledge? Anybody remember? Somebody sent him. Somebody in Puri. No. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to Ramananda Roy, he said, due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind has been enlightened. Of course, he's speaking like this. Therefore, I have asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the truths of transcendental loving service to Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me, I do not actually know about the topics of Lord Krishna. They are all known only to Ramananda Roy, but he is not present here. After hearing about your, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, after hearing about your glories, that is from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have come to your place. However, you are offering me words of praise out of respect for a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. And then he says, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shujakini no ye Krishna tattaveta she guru hoy. But he wants to hear from Ramananda Roy, an inferior socially, according to Varnashram Dharma. So he speaks this, whether one is a brahmana, vipra, nyasi, a sannyasi, shudra, whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Ye Krishna Tattva Veda. Krishna Tattva Veda. If he is a knower of Krishna Tattva, that is the science or the principles of Krishna, say Guru Hoy. He's Guru. So Prabhupada says, this verse is very important to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's right. It's our authorization to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is to say, all of us who weren't born in Brahminical families in India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this here. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born a brahmana and was situated in the topmost spiritual order as a sannyasi. So both Varna and Ashram, he was in the top order. It was improper for him to receive instructions from Srila Ramananda Roy, who belonged to the Shudra caste. To clarify this matter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Ramananda Roy that knowledge of Krishna consciousness is more important than caste. In the system of Varnashram Dharma, there are various duties for the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and shudras. Actually, the brahmana is supposed to be the spiritual master of all other varnas or sects. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, everyone is capable of becoming a spiritual master because knowledge in Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the spirit soul. To spread Krishna consciousness, one need only be cognizant of the science of the spirit soul. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, sannyasi, grihastha, or whatever. If one simply understands the science, he can become a spiritual master. So that's the principle. This was enunciated quite uncompromising way by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, radical principle. Then Prabhupada goes on to point something out we should take note of. It is stated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should not accept initiation from a person who is not in the Brahminical order if there is a fit person in the Brahminical order present. This instruction is meant for those who are overly dependent on the mundane social order and is suitable for those who want to remain in mundane life. If one understands the truth of Krishna consciousness and seriously desires to attain transcendental knowledge for the perfection of life, he can accept a spiritual master from any social status, provided the spiritual master is fully conversant with the science of Krishna. So here the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was compiled by Sanatana Goswami, or by Gopal Bhatta Goswami under the direction of Saratan Goswami, whatever, if there's two gurus and one's a Brahmin and one is not, then you should take initiation from the Brahmin. That's what it says in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And Prabhupada said this is actually not meant for everyone. It's only meant to appease people who are conventionally minded and are still enamored of material designations. So somewhere else Prabhupada has pointed out that Hari Bhakti Vilas has made some accommodation to caste system, to the caste brahmanas, and that therefore we can't accept Hari Bhakti Vilas uncritically because of that. It's meant for a certain purpose. Sometimes devotees put forward various injunctions of Hari Bhakti Vilas as something that we should all follow. But here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said that we have to be careful of it. And there's another book, a summary of it, prepared by Sanatana Goswami. He says that it is better to follow. So here in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's been some compromise by statements like this. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if he knows the science of Krishna, guru, no other consideration is there. So Prabhupada goes on. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also states that although one is situated as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Grihastha or Sannyasi, if he is conversant in the science of Krishna, he can become a spiritual master as Vardma Pradarshaka Guru, Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru. And then Prabhupada explains, one who first gives information about spiritual life is called Vartma Pradarshika Guru, or spiritual master. The spiritual master who initiates according to the regulations of Shastra is called Diksha Guru, and the spiritual master who gives instructions for elevation is called Shiksha Guru. So those three things. Then later on, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, sometimes a caste guru says that ye Krishna tattva veda se guru hoy means that one who is not a brahmana may become a shiksha guru or a vartma pradarshika guru, but not an initiated guru. According to such caste gurus, birth and family ties are considered foremost. However, the hereditary consideration is not applicable to Vaishnavas. The word guru is equally applicable to the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Diksha Guru. Unless we accept the principle enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement cannot spread all over the world. There it is. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intentions, Prithivite Acheyata Nagaradi Grama Sarvatra Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult must be preached all over the world. This does not mean that people should take to his teachings and remain Shudras or Chandas. As soon as one is trained as a pure Vaishnava, he must be accepted as a bona fide Brahmana. This is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions in this verse. So these two things are tied together, this instruction that one can become guru in spite of whatever the all material considerations aside, if, say, Krishna Tattva Veti knows the science of Krishna. He said, without this teaching, how can Krishna consciousness spread all over the world? It can't. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciated this principle and also gave a method for elevating people to the position of Krishna consciousness from lower positions. Elsewhere in this purport, Prabhupada cites some other verses in the Shastra which also support this. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point is not without Shastric support. From the Padma Purana and from Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two verses. Na Shudra Bhagavad Bhakta Stepi Bhagavatottama Sarva Varne Shute Shudra Yena Bhakta Janardane. One who is actually advanced in spiritual knowledge of Krishna is never a Shudra, even though he may have been born in a Shudra family. If, however, a Vipra or Brahmana is very expert in the six Brahminical activities and is also well versed in the Vedic hymns, he cannot become a spiritual master unless he is a Vaishnava. And then again, from Bhagavatam, Yasya ya lakshanam proktam pumso varana bhivyanchikam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishet. If a person is born in a Shudra family but has all the qualities, lakshana, of a spiritual master, he should be accepted not only as a Brahmana but as a qualified spiritual master also. So these are other texts in support of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement for this. And then all we see also with Vishwarup here, the demigods also ready to accept him as a superior, even though in terms of ordinary etiquette he was not, by virtue of his advancement in spiritual knowledge. So this is the principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advances for Guru. Krishna Tattva Veda. So anyone can become to that position. That's the premise of this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada has a very moving statement in his comments on the last of the four essential Bhagavatam shlokas, where Lord Brahma says that Krishna says to Lord Brahma that Krishna consciousness must be practiced always and everywhere. And Prabhupada says this means also by all people. And he said everyone is eligible for Krishna consciousness, qualified or not qualified, high-born or low-born, whatever he or she may be. Anyone can take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. And that statement is also there. Other places in Bhagavatam, there's a list of fallen people. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhya, Shambhar, Yavana, Kshadaya. These are all a list of kind of aborigine type people or sinful people. Normally outside the pale of Vedic culture. But it says yenye cha papa, and even those who are more sinful. All of these can be lifted to the highest position, completely purified. By taking shelter of one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So how can that happen? Because Krishna is all pure and all powerful. So there's no doubting the purifying power of Krishna. But the rule is there that one has to take shelter of one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So that's the obligation of one who wishes to be a Vaishnava. Vaishnava, two things. First of all, to take shelter of Krishna himself and become a spiritual master. Spiritual master means transparent to Krishna. That is to say, no resistance. Whatever Krishna wants, I want. Whatever Krishna speaks, I speak. Perfect servant, 100% represent. You know this word represent? It means re-present. In other words, to present all over again. So a devotee is a representative of Krishna, because that's how God is available. God is available in through the devotees of God, because they represent God. So you want the presence of God, you want the association of God, you have to seek out the presence and the association of godly people. And when those people are there, then also God is there in their midst. That's where he's found. Wherever his devotees are chanting his glory, that's where Krishna is. So this is the meaning. How to make Krishna available to people who are bereft of divine association. So one has to become transparent. That means surrender to Krishna. So a surrendered devotee has no life of his own. And this is what surrender means. It means that one has no life of his own. He becomes completely sold out servant of God. And this we see everywhere. This is not just the teachings in Krishna consciousness. If you read the Gospel according to John, you can see that's also the position of Lord Jesus. He said, on my own I'm doing nothing. I'm only representing the will of my Father. Whatever he wants, I want. And whatever he tells me to do, I do. But on my own account, I have nothing. Well, that's the position of a devotee. Or a pure devotee, anyway. And this is the actual statement of Krishna, that he asking us for full surrender without any remainder. That's what he says, sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. You come to me exclusively for shelter and give up all other types of shelters anywhere. Any other engagements, obligations, concerns, and so on. Let me take care of your interests for you. It seems sometimes that when people become a government servants, they take their economic interests and put them in what's called a blind trust. So there won't be a conflict. So they may have so many stocks and so much property, but somebody else manages it for them, at least while they're in term of government. So they don't know, supposedly, they're not supposed to be knowing what's happening to their financial interests. So this keeps them from making decisions that would benefit them. Right? This is what's done. So this is called blind trust. Well, in a similar way, a devotee has to put all his interests in on Krishna. You take care of it. I'm now not going to make any plans for my future. Prabhupada discussing the position of a pure devotee, he said, they do not care what becomes of the future of their lives. Well, that's not because they're bums who have given up all responsibility. No, it's that the future of their lives is Krishna's decision. You can do with me what you like. So I don't know how far we each of us are from this position. Because at one time, when we pray to Krishna, when we just say Hare Krishna, that's what we're actually begging for. Please engage me in your service. That's all it means. That's actually what we're begging for. And yet at the same time, we're putting little footnotes and clauses and fine print with so many. And what are those called? They're called conditions. So our surrender to Krishna is conditional. But ultimately what we are aiming for is unconditional surrender. That means to say there's no fine print, there are no deals. But I surrender to Krishna and I don't expect anything back. Well, this is not good business. That's a fact. In the material world, we don't do that with people. We have contracts and we make sure it's fair. But here we're dealing with God. And our position is we're not equals. Our eternal position is that we're servants of Krishna. And our real advantage, because we're part and parcel of Him, is simply to surrender. You see, we cannot think that God has His interest and I have my interest. Because real self-interest is Vishnu. That by fulfilling all of Krishna's interests and His interest alone, that automatically my interest is taken care of. And this conception that I have a separate interest that has to be dealt with, separately from the project of surrendering to Krishna and fulfilling His interest, this conception is called Maya, or illusion. So Krishna is always inviting us further and further to surrender. So we say, on the one hand, yes, Krishna, that's what I want. Give me devotional service. And then on the other hand, we're saying, but, not just yet, tomorrow, later on, if this happens, if that happens. This is our unfortunate position. So if Krishna is very kind, He'll gradually destroy all our alternatives. So we are left helpless to surrender to Him fully. So in this way, the more we surrender to Krishna, the more we can represent Krishna. We simply become instrument of Krishna. We don't do anything our own, and everything we do is to further Krishna's ends and aims. And so a person who is in this position then has no needs. It becomes fully satisfied. The relationship to Krishna is there. He is free from the identification of the self with the material body. So that person doesn't suffer anymore in this material world. Suffering comes from identifying the self with the material body. Because of that, people are entangled in this process of birth, death, old age, and disease. And they're very worried all the time. They're full of anxiety. From the moment they wake up to the moment they fall asleep, and in their dreams and when they sleep also, there's anxiety. Because this is the place of death. And therefore there's always fear and suffering and anxiety. But for one who is actually Krishna conscious, the material world is not a place of fear or suffering and anxiety. It's the kingdom of God. Because a devotee is not implicated in the cause and effect of material nature. Because a devotee doesn't identify himself or herself with the material body. That's part of the purport to this verse. Kiba vipra kipa nyasishu. It's not the body. These are bodily designations. So one who is actually fully in Krishna consciousness is not on the platform of the material body. So for that person, na sochati, na kanchati, there is no hankering on the material platform, and there's no lamentation. Otherwise, the whole world from this globe comes one gigantic cosmic sound, which is a mixture of hankering and lamentation. I want it and I've lost it. Mixed up together. What I don't have and what I've lost. But a devotee is fully satisfied. So, nakanshati, asochati, nakanshati, no hankering and no lamentation. So he has nothing, no purpose of his own to fulfill. No reason to do anything in the material world. Yet a devotee acts. Devotee has a mission. What is that mission? Well, it's not his mission, it's Krishna's mission. And what is Krishna's mission? To release all these people who are caught up in this unnecessary suffering in the material world. For a devotee, the material world doesn't present any problem. He's detached from the workings of the material energy. So he has nothing to lose and nothing to gain in this material world. He already has the highest gain of Krishna consciousness, and so this, which cannot, does not depend upon material circumstances. But even though for a devotee this material world is as good as the kingdom of God, he can see all the other people, all the people who are entrapped in the bodily conception of life and are thinking of themselves as a temporary material project, and are therefore sending up this big howl of suffering, hankering, lust, desire, angry, greed, so much disturbance. You know, the perturbations of the mind under the mode of material nature going on and on and on again. So a devotee feels sorry for such people. That they're suffering so needlessly. It's like a person who's, if you're in a room with somebody who's sleeping and they're crying out in a bad dream, you want to wake them up. See, look, everything's all right. So similarly, in the material world, people are suffering. Immeasurable amounts of suffering. So the devotee's job is to wake them up. See, it's all right. Everything is okay. You have to come to your actual consciousness, your Krishna consciousness. So when a devotee does that, he's representing Krishna. He becomes the representative of God. And he knows how to act because he acts in the direction of Krishna. And so therefore is able to advance Krishna's cause in this material world. Somebody has to represent Krishna. Most people do not. They represent other interests. So there are many other interests opposed to the interests of God. So some have to represent God's interest also. So that's the business of a devotee. So anyone who knows what Krishna wants, ye Krishna tatta veti, say guru hai, that person is Guru. So how do we become Guru ourselves? By accepting someone who knows the science of Krishna as Guru and following that person's order. If someone knows what Krishna wants and we follow the orders of that person, therefore whether I'm liberated or not liberated, all my actions are liberated. I'm acting as the servant of Krishna. Infallibly. Simply by the simple act of accepting instructions from the bona fide spiritual master. This is how the disciplic succession goes on. And that's how the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world. By this principle. Okay? Any questions or comments? In writing, no less, it says, in a practical way, what we follow in ISKCON is what Sanatan Goswami stated, because we have to approach a Brahmana to become initiated. And the Brahmana is indicated by GBC. So, due to what Srila Prabhupada says, we can receive initiation from anyone who is Krishna conscious, because so therefore has, it gets a little obscure here, but what he's saying is that, he says here, Prabhupada's principle is that, it's stated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should not accept initiation for a person who is not in the Brahminical order. if there's a fit person in the Brahminical order present, the Prabhupada says this is meant for those who are overly dependent on the mundane social order. But Hari Bhakti Vilas says Brahminical order, it means persons who are by birth Brahmanas. In ISKCON, we have to approach a Brahmana to become initiated. That is to say, so far as I know, anyone who's initiating Guru in ISKCON has got Brahminical initiation and likely would not be approved unless that person had Brahminical initiation. Right? So, according to Prabhupada's principle, we could actually take initiation from anybody, whether they were approved or not approved. In other words, in ISKCON, it seems like we have a conventional social system. Is that clear? That's the question. But this refers to here, Hari Bhakti Vilas refers to is caste Brahman. Now, what we do in ISKCON is, following Bhakti Siddhanta, is put the sacred thread ceremony on anyone who becomes a Vaishnava, no matter what caste background or whatever that may be there. This was an innovation by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for preaching work. Prabhupada says, so it's to point out that anyone, even if born in a Shudra or Mlecha or whatever family, is Krishna conscious, then that person is a qualified Brahmana, and then the thread is put on. So this thread is supposed to actually designate someone who is on a certain level of spiritual advancement. What we do in ISKCON, as far as who's author.